Hello and welcome to Asia Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm your host, Leanne Pruitt. I am very excited by today's interview. I have my friend Dawn Holly here. Dawn, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Now, Dawn, well, all right, I'm not going to tell you about Dawn. I'm going to read you about Dawn, and then you're going to know what kind of neat things you're in for. Dawn is this founder of Stepping Stones to Phi, which provides the foundational steps that anyone can follow to achieve financial independence, or Phi. Topics include personal finance and wealth building basics, as well as successful goal setting techniques to achieve the life you dream of. As a full-time single mom that started at the very bottom, she learned just what it takes to gain control of her money and pave the path to a secure financial future. You can read more about Dawn at steppingstonestofi.com, and we're going to have a link to that below. So don't go there now. Listen to Dawn and all the great things she's got to say, and you can check her out a little bit later. So Dawn, you know, one of the reasons that I was so excited to talk to you was just like when I read your story about how you really did come from the bottom. You know, you were a single mom, you came from the bottom, you just created this, and it was amazing. You started it as a blog, I think, this business as a blog to sort of document your own progress. Am I correct on that one?
Yes.
And then from there, you've developed this business that helps people with personal finance, wealth building, and goal setting. And it's just like, tell me more about your journey.
So when I say I started at the bottom, I was a stay-at-home mom. Life was pretty great. And I had a toddler, and then my husband passed away, and he managed everything. The house was in his name. I didn't pay attention to the finances because that wasn't my job. And I know I'm smarter than that, but I was comfortable. And I think a lot of us fall into that trap of just being comfortable. So the rug was just pulled out from under me, and I didn't have a career. I didn't have an income. I didn't have savings. And I had this toddler that I needed to take care of. I had never put him in daycare before. So trying to figure out what to do was really challenging. And it really made me assess everything and to come up with a very clear plan of how I was going to get myself out of this. So I knew very, very quickly I needed financial security. I needed to not feel so insecure that I was terrified of any little expense or emergency that would come my way. So I learned very quickly how to set goals for myself and to just methodically go after them and one by one just make my list of everything I needed to do and then go after it. So that was kind of my journey. So I started out just looking for any kind of job that I could. I had to go back home to my parents, and I just, you know, you kind of accept things for what they are and don't beat yourself up too much. And then you do what you have to. And I built a career. I went back to school. I found the cheapest and fastest option available. And I went with that. And it ended up being a really good thing. But I put all of my focus on what goal was in front of me. And then I just tackled it. So It took many years, but I set certain milestones for myself. And the main thing that I realized along my journey was that I wasn't alone, that I could talk to other people and find that there were other single moms out there. There were people that were struggling, and it helped to talk to other people. And then I also found that I wasn't doing as bad as I thought I was. And that really helped. I made really good choices, I think, because I felt like I didn't have any other option. You know, going into debt and feeling financially insecure, that was not an option to me.
Right.
And so I found that I just didn't want to see other people making the mistakes that I did. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to help people by kind of outlining what journey I was taking and the steps that I was taking, and to help people kind of empower other women to feel like they can have control of their finances and their life. Because it's a horrible feeling to be financially insecure.
Right, right. Wow, that is, your story is really is really stunning. I'm just like, I'm in awe of what you've done. And you know, like I hear that so often. It's like people, oftentimes people will be older. They won't be your age, like with a toddler, but their husband will pass away or something. And they're like left not knowing what to do with the finances. So it's just, it's like, I know that you did feel alone, like at the beginning, but I know that you did quickly realize that there are so many people, this is like a really common theme and common story with women. So I'm so glad that you just took this on head on and learned what you did, and now you're sharing it with other people. That's wonderful. So now let me ask you, the name of this series is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. What does Ace Your Space mean to you?
I think to me, it's having control of your life and your space. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed by everything.
Right.
And if you can just kind of take action and not stop and feel everything come down on your shoulders, and just take little baby steps and organize what you have in your life, then you can take control of that. And then you can do anything you want. You don't have to feel limited or overwhelmed. Just take that little step. And it really starts with organizing your space. Mm-hmm. I think your physical space, your mental space, your financial space, all of it. But when you start looking at that and facing it and then doing something about it, then you can take control and move forward.
Right. I love that. That's actually a really good answer. That's good. Thank you. So the reason, well, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on this series, for me, clutter is not just the piles in the corner. Clutter is anything that gets in the way of you and what you want to do in your life. And, you know, that's a huge way, a huge form of that kind of clutter is certainly financial clutter. In what ways do you see like financial clutter show up in people's lives?
Everywhere. So you see it with like that fear of not even wanting to log into your accounts because you don't want to see what's there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of burying your head in the sand and not knowing where you stand financially, because it's much easier to kind of ignore it. It's little expenses or bills that are spread out everywhere that aren't consolidated, and you start missing payments here and there just because they're disorganized. They're every which way. Mm-hmm. It's even, and I've had this problem, like a lot of people give me gift cards because that's money. Like it's not giving money, but it's a way to spend money without feeling like you're spending your own money. So if you're frugal, it's really helpful. But those gift cards like pile up, and like they end up in various little corners and hidey holes in the house or the car, and you never end up using them. So for me, a lot of the time it's just being afraid to look at where you are,
right?
Because you feel overwhelmed and kind of a little out of control with your spending.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, I would completely agree. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of people I've had people in like my Clutterbuster boot camp, and they find cards and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, we didn't have, man, we had that. It's like, well, that's like cash that you've got hidden or thrown away, or like it's, you know, not doing you the good that it's supposed to be doing you. Now, when people clean up their, we'll just call it financial clutter, when they get their finances more under control, when they clean that up, what kind of things become available to them?
Choices, options, empowerment of taking control of your money. So much opens up. Confidence to go after your goals and achieve them. When you stop feeling overwhelmed by what you're not controlling, and you start actually gaining control of those things, it is very empowering, and it opens up different opportunities for you.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, I was just thinking of something. You know, we're in this really weird time right now with COVID and everything like that. I would imagine that this is exactly the type of situation that you had in mind when you say, when you don't know what's coming up. It's, you know, it's not, you know, someone's spouse passing away, but it's, you know, a lot of the normal financial streams have, you know, cut off or muted a little bit. How do you, what have you seen with your followers? How are they reacting to what's going on now in the world with COVID, and how do you advise them? What do you tell them to do?
So it's really scary. It's very scary right now. As we enter a recession, and, you know, back in April when stocks were plummeting and people were afraid to invest, they were afraid to have their money invested. And so people were talking about, do I sell everything? What do you do? And then people are losing jobs and support isn't coming through in a timely manner. And those are the times that the rug is pulled out and you realize that you're not secure. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And what I say is always build that security. Mm-hmm. It is so important. So especially in times like this, cash is king. You want to have an emergency savings. And some people say 3 months. Well, what is 3 months going to do for you right now? Not very much. Mm-hmm. So the more insecure you feel, the more you should hoard cash, the more you should be building and focusing on building up that security, and know that you have kind of a financial runway where if you do lose your job, if you do lose income, you have the security of some savings to help cushion that.
Exactly. And it's almost like, in a way it's a wake up call, but it's like, we're still being shaken awake by everything that's happening. It is very scary. How, you focus on wealth building as one of your, you know, one of the things you tell people. Have you told them to do anything differently, because of COVID-19, or do you tell them to, like, if they're able to basically stay the course?
If you don't have a big savings, then I tell people to shift, you know, how much contributions they're making to retirement, say. So if you're contributing 5% to your retirement, but you don't have a savings fund, maybe lower that right now or get rid of it altogether. You can pick that up again, but that needs to go to your savings so that you have some financial support right now that's readily available. But the other thing I say is just stay the course. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the ability, you can see this, a recession is almost an opportunity. So if you're in the stock market, things are on sale. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true at the moment. Nobody really understands what's going on with the stock market right now, right? It's not reflecting, I think, what's actually going on. But if you get scared and you sell, you're only losing money by selling. If you just stay the course and understand that time is on your side, just wait it out and things will improve over time, unless you feel that there's going to be a complete apocalypse and everything's going, the entire economy is going to fall apart, in which case, what does it matter anyway?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Just stay the course. Don't get scared and pull everything out. Let your investments do what they're doing. But if you don't have that emergency savings fund, focus on that.
Right. I got it. That's really good advice. I like that. Now, what are the biggest mistakes that you see people make around their finances?
So I think one of the biggest ones I see, especially, I live in a really high cost of living area. It's lifestyle inflation. It's giving in to lifestyle inflation. It's this false sense of security that what your home and your life looks like to everybody else is a reflection of your actual wealth. And very rarely is that the case. So as you get a pay raise, or you're earning more money, or you get married and you combine incomes, the drive, I guess, and the culturally accepted norm is to increase your expenses along with that. So it's buying the nice car rather than continuing to drive your 10-year-old car. It's buying the house that's at the top of your budget and stretching that mortgage payment every month. Mm-hmm. It's just always living paycheck to paycheck rather than thinking about the future. There's a great book called The Millionaire Next Door, and it's the neighbor that you have living in the smaller house with the beat up pickup truck. That's probably the millionaire in the neighborhood. Whereas the person with the Tesla in the front yard and the addition is probably living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, you know, it reminds me, I mean, like they say Warren Buffett lives in the same house that he bought 30 or 40 years ago and stuff, and drives an old car and like Warren Buffett. Yeah. So
the millionaires are really not the people you expect. They're the normal people that dress normally, and they live very frugally because all those extra earned dollars are going to work for them and earning even more dollars for them. The other mistake that I see people make is just not tracking their spending. And it starts right there. Just understand where you are right now, because you can't move forward if you don't even know where you are. And just tracking those expenses and understand the money that's coming in and the money that's going out. What are you actually spending your money on? You know, do you have a huge list of subscriptions that you're not even aware of that you forgot about? So those are sneaky little things that undermine your progress.
And I think that often when people like do an exercise, like maybe for a day or 3 days or a week, write down everything they spend, it can be really eye-opening. They're like, wow. Yeah.
And one thing I do tell people is when you do that, give yourself some grace. Like, don't judge yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to find those little things and you're just going to be like, what was I thinking? And you just let those go and you learn from them and then you move forward.
I love that. Now, when people decide that it's time, all right, we can't stay in this uncertainty and this financial insecurity any longer. We've got to start getting our affairs, our house in order, our financial house in order. Where do you suggest people start when they're at that point and want to start making changes?
So there's two sides to the equation. There's the spending and there's the earning. Mm-hmm. So if you can start with the earnings, if you know that you can, if you're not earning your value, then it's important to assess that and either change jobs or request a raise or change positions in your company. But you should always be building that income. I think, again, people sometimes get a little comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily apply right now.
Yeah.
But pre-COVID, that was an important thing. And it could be that right now is a great opportunity to be exploring other fields. You could be at home training and doing online courses and learning new skills that are valuable and can help you increase your earnings. But the other side, which is often the better place to start, is just the spending. And it's getting the spending under control, understanding where your money goes again. But once you know where it's going, you can set goals, and then you can start giving your money a purpose. And so that's having a budget and having financial goals, and then just putting every extra dollar that you have that didn't go towards bills and your necessary living expenses can now have a purpose and start working for you.
I love that. Those are good ideas. I like that a lot. So now, what has your relationship to physical clutter been throughout your life, and how has that impacted you?
I laugh a little bit because it's interesting, actually. My personality is actually kind of the absent-minded professor type personality. I have a degree in physics. It's just random. And my mom would always get so frustrated with me because I was just oblivious to so many things. And so clutter was something that was kind of always in my life. And I always had that desk with just piles of paper everywhere. I knew exactly where everything was. I knew exactly how to find things, but to anybody else, it was definitely just a disaster. And then as I went through my journey and I found that I had to be in control of things. I had very big goals that I set for myself, and I absolutely, not achieving them wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. And so there was a certain level of every single action or decision I made was very deliberate. Mm-hmm. And through that process, clutter was just, it was something that wasn't allowed. Everything had to be organized and intentional. And I found over the years, now when I see clutter, I'm hyper aware of it. Mm-hmm. I see it and it just stands out to me. And I'm not a controlling personality. I'm not hyper observant like that. But it's very, very noticeable to me. And so if my space becomes cluttered, it's stop everything and fix it, because it means that there's some type of mental clutter that I'm dealing with, and I need to clear the physical, assess the mental, and then move forward.
I love that. That's exactly where I just, I love it when people get to that place. That's it. Well, it's funny when you were talking about how you had the desk piled, but you knew where everything was. I remember my first job. Well, one of my first jobs years ago, I worked for a small chemical company, and the guy that was he had some high up position. Maybe he was the vice president or something, or the technical director, but you would go in and there were just piles all over his desk, all over the bookcases. But he, you could say, I need so-and-so, and he'd go to those piles and find it. But it was the craziest thing. If he wasn't there, nobody could find anything though. So it's there probably was some system. There was definitely a system there, but you're right. It's clutter. When it's in your space, your brain sees it and has to filter past it to be able to do what it wants to do. So,
yeah, I think those piles where you know where everything is, you don't realize it takes mental energy to keep track of those things.
Exactly.
And you reach a certain point in your life where you don't have time for that. You don't have the mental bandwidth to be thinking about what area of your pile this document is. And it's okay when you're younger, or there's less things going on in your life, or there's less things to focus on. But when your life is full and you've got other stuff, it's not worth the mental energy.
Well, it's you made one point there that's good, when your life is full. But also, you mentioned how earlier how you were setting your goals and how not achieving them was not an option. It's you knew you were up to bigger things. And you want your mental energy, and you want your that bandwidth to go for that. You don't want, it doesn't, right. It's a distraction to have it going for that other stuff. So now, what tips would you give us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
Take action. That's the biggest tip I have. Just take action. If you're so overwhelmed, you don't know where to start, and you just want to binge watch Netflix because you don't want to face it, make a little list and just pick one thing, and just take action on just one thing. You don't have to tackle it all. It doesn't all have to be done overnight. You just take action on one little thing, and that one little thing will give you energy and motivation to do the next little thing. And those snowball into, you know, doing more and more and building up the habit of maintaining a cleaner space. But the very first step is to just do it.
I love that. That's great. All right, I have a couple of more questions for you. What was your favorite book as a child?
Anything with a horse in it. I was that horse girl that was just obsessed with horses.
Did you have little horse statues in your room and stuff
yes.
that? Of course.
I had the posters. I had everything.
I love that. I loved horses too. I had one or two myself. So when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Boy, you know, this is a really hard question.
Of course, it's hard to do something for the first time these days because...
Well, that's the thing. It's these days. Like, I do really try to push myself to always do new things. So I'm trying to think of just what it is. You know, one thing I did, I'm really terrified of wasps. This is so silly. But I'm somewhat allergic to them, and I've been stung so many times stepping on a hive mm-hmm. that like the reaction is worse every single time it happens.
Yep.
But there's this trail that I really wanted to hike for the first time in my area, and it's, you know, it's remote, nobody's around. It's the perfect thing to do during COVID times. But I knew there was a big wasp nest right on the trail, and I tried to do it once and my son got stung a couple of times, but I really wanted to get past it. And, you know, last week I overcame my fear and I went early in the morning and I just tiptoed past that area and I did it. And it was an amazing hike.
Woohoo! I love that. That's beautiful. Good for you. Get those wasps. Don't let them stop.
Oh, you know, the other thing I did, okay. I got a flat tire for the first time.
Did you change it?
I did because I had it was so flat and I just didn't have the patience to call like a tow truck and be that. I didn't want to be that girl that's like, I don't know how to change my tire. So I had to find my spare, which actually took some time. And then I did change the tire and then I drove to the tire shop and it worked out. It was not nearly as hard as I thought it would be.
Now, you know what? That is actually very impressive too. I myself have not done that. I haven't done
Isn't
that.
Amazing?
So, yes. So I'm really impressed with you. Good job. So now, Dawn, I think you have a gift for the audience.
I do. You know, I love this topic so, so much. I think it's overlooked. People think clutter and you immediately go to the physical clutter. Mm-hmm. And financial clutter is, it rules your life sometimes and it takes your life away from you mm-hmm. when you're not organized with your finances. And so I put a lot of thought into just what it takes to overcome that and to organize your finances. And so I put together a checklist and I actually put it into four different phases so that you don't have to be overwhelmed by the checklist as a whole. And so you just start with the first one and just focus on that. Take your time, get through it. But I outlined every single step that you can take to regain control of your money and to start building security.
Oh, I love that. That is going to be so useful. Thank you, Dawn. I can't wait to get that one myself. I must say. So before we go, do you have any final thoughts for the audience?
I also love goal setting. And while my blog and business is about personal finance, I couldn't do it without including goal setting. Mm-hmm. And I just, my final note is, you know, set yourself a goal and know that you are totally capable of it. Just take little tiny baby steps, one step at a time, take action every day, and you'll get there.
I love that. That's so good. You know what, Dawn? I have so enjoyed talking with you today.
Thank you
so much for being here. I think that the audience is going to get like a huge amount out of this talk, just like I did.
Good.
So I really appreciate it.
That is what I live for now. I want to help other people.
Yes. Well, I think you have today. So I know you have today. Audience, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I want you to take a look at your inbox tomorrow. You will have an email with another couple of great Acer Space interviews coming up. And until then, I will see you a little later. Bye-bye.